Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Hogan.
Killed it. Good job.
Welcome to the After Reality TV Podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Daniel Oler.
It was an explosive week in more ways than one this week in reality TV land. The Bachelor kicked out another interesting episode with this cryptic rendezvous between Claire and Juan Pablo. The Real World introduced us to all of the exes of the explosion. And my personal favorite, Vanderpump Rules, blew the roof off this week. I'm pumped on Vanderpump. Dano, it was another great week in reality TV. But before we get started, where can everyone find us online?
First, Spencer, I want to admit, I had sex with Jax. But in the meantime, you can, well, everyone else has, so why not me? You can hit us up on Twitter, at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, After Reality TV Podcast.
So was it true, Dan?
It's true.
Was it true?
I imagine Jax just had sex with everybody. Why not me? Why not me?
I'm sad Vanderpump's done for the season.
We get the reunion.
We have the reunion.
Yeah.
Vanderpump's the best thing on TV right now in reality land.
Probably. I mean, just it's very salacious.
I mean, since Typhoon Ashley left the Real World house.
Yeah, it's kind of calmed down on the Real World house.
I think everybody's... I'm a little... This may have happened had they not... brought the X's in, but it may have happened anyway, or with the X's, I should say. We might have a St. Thomas type situation on our hand where everybody's kind of paired up.
Yeah,
it could have happened without the X's, and it could still happen with the X's.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish there was a guy and a girl of the out of the bunch that weren't tied together and came from opposite relationships and made the opportunity for them to get together, because that would be the best kind of drama.
Like I was saying on Survivor last season, when it would have been nice if, like, on Blood versus Water, if, like, two people from the opposite, you know, relationships start hooking up with each other in the tribes.
The issue with that was there was only, like, two couples of people that were couples.
But it would have been great. It would have been good.
If Candace Woodcott Cody had hooked up with Hayden.
Exactly. Or Rupert hooked up with... I don't know.
Rupert wouldn't do that. NPH wouldn't do that.
I know.
All right. The Bachelor. We kick it off with The Bachelor. We are in Vietnam.
Did I tell you I went blind this week from watching The Bachelor by stabbing my eyes with knives because it was so painfully boring this week? That's my opinion.
I thought the last 45 minutes were fantastic. I found myself talking to the TV about this whole
So what'd you do the first
cryptic
minute,
affair?
The first 75 minutes.
I took notes.
Okay, that was so 60% of the show you said is boring.
I got some great quotes this week.
Okay, let's try this out.
So we're in Vietnam. And Renee gets the first one-on-one date. We're getting to a point where most of the contenders are all getting a one-on-one date. We end this episode. Andy's really the only one that hadn't had one yet. They go out on the usual shopping around the town. That seems to kind of be what you do in these the Asian countries. Mm-hmm. At least that's what they've done so far. And he gets a native dress made for her. I'm sure they paid for it themselves.
Yes. I'm sure he planned this all out, too.
Natalie Getz, one of my favorite former cast members, was rather harsh about the dress, but she's rather harsh about most things, yeah. Bachelor.
So we're missing the underlying theme, right, is that Renee is like one of the few girls that Juan Pablo hasn't kissed yet. And this is
we're getting there,
man. This is so there's a little sexual tension
going on.
We're going
on a date.
Yeah, there's a little sexual tension during this well, at least from Renee's point of view.
So they go on this date. They talk a lot about her son, Ben, and of course, Camila Valentina. She gets the rose.
Which means her birthday is like next week. Because she was born on Valentine's Day. That's why she's called Camila Valentina.
And we'll be on the air. We can have a birthday party for Camila Valentina. Don't let me forget that.
We'll
get cupcakes and party favors, and we'll spread them around the office here, and everybody will look at us like we have three heads. Gets the rose, but no kiss.
Yep.
They make wishes at the pond.
And what's she wish for?
At the fountain. I think she's wishing for a kiss.
Yeah, she's wishing for a kiss.
But no diet. I mean, there's every opportunity for this to happen. I think by Juan Pablo not kissing her sends, like, the wrong message to her in many ways.
In the meantime, Juan Pablo is telling her, like, I don't want to kiss you because I don't want to come off.
He didn't tell her that on the date.
Yeah, but he
tells her that back later on.
Yeah.
So that was basically it. Not a real eventful date, as you prescribed.
The dates this season haven't been very eventful. Like, I feel like the dates are, like, the slow part of the show.
Well, when you go to a place like South Korea or Vietnam or something, you're not going to go do crazy...
Because you just don't trust the infrastructure.
You're not going to have bungee jumping, and you're not going to have a winter wonderland, and you're not going to have... any of these other... You're not going to have a neon run or electric run.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying that I think...
Maybe you can get in a tuk-tuk race?
I think if they want to fix the show somehow, they need to fix these one-on-one dates. These one-on-one dates seem to be where the show really comes to a halt and gets really slow.
Okay. So, let me ask you this. I do this kind of every week when I watch the show. Do I want to visit there? They go places in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hey, I like San Francisco. I've been there. They go to Vegas, whatever. I like that. South Korea. Are you interested in going to South Korea?
Yeah, I would go. If someone paid me to go, you know, gave me an airline.
Would you go on vacation out of your pocket to South Korea?
Not at this moment because there's other places I would rather be.
Not really on my list either. Vietnam.
Again, not today because... There's other places I'd rather. Yeah. I've never been to Europe. So
I would
go to Europe.
Yeah, I've only been to Mexico and Canada, but I've been in a lot of places in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go to Vietnam, but one of my best friends is Vietnamese, and he speaks Vietnamese also.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I could go with him and his wife, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Kind of just, it'd be a much better cultural experience, I think. But anyhow, food for thought. Group date, Chelsea, Claire, Danielle, Allie, Andy, Kelly, Kat, and Charlene. A big group date, given we only have 10 people left on the show. We have 8 people on a group date.
Yeah.
Seems like maybe we could have four-person dates,
or
a six and my favorite. We have to be due for two-on-one, right?
Yeah, that's probably coming up soon.
It's got to be this week.
Yeah.
All right. I'm actually surprised it hadn't happened already.
But now they're including everyone in the group dates, right? Back in when they're in the U.S.
Well, up until this week,
yeah.
Not everybody.
There's some people who would not go on a date during the week, so
yeah.
Now everyone's getting. That would be horrible to be left like.
Yeah, you're the only one. Yeah. You're hoping that at least two people. Well, I guess the person that went on the one-on-ones at least
yeah,
there with
hanging
you.
Out with you, yeah.
But it's always the best, though, when the person that goes on the one-on-one date is like a Tierra, and you're the one that gets left at home, and you have to hang out with Tierra. So Wani Pops hands out the season's first trust me.
Oh.
To Andy.
Yes.
And doesn't really back that up real well, but all the girls are kind of perturbed that Claire gets one-on-one time first, when she's already made out with him in the paddle boat, so they didn't like that. So while on the group date, while all the girls are waiting, and I know they always have one-on-one time, and we don't really have a concept of how long mm-hmm. one-on-one times are.
We don't.
I always kind of pictured it maybe being like 10 or 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This one had to have been at least 30 or 45 minutes, because he takes Claire back to his suite that has a private swimming pool. Apparently it was pretty chilly by what they said. That's all we really saw, but they had to have been there for a while.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they make out and stuff in the pool.
Yeah, if you make out in the pool, you gotta put your bathing suit on. You gotta do all this kind
right.
of stuff. Like, I mean,
and they were wearing bathing
yeah,
suits.
Yeah, I don't want to just jump in the pool and like get out. And
yeah. Oh, that was refreshing.
Yeah, I know. Like, if you're getting in the pool, you're committing to being in the pool for at least, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I think maybe makes this season of The Bachelor a twofold why it makes it a little less interesting? One is we didn't really know Juan Pablo before the show.
Yeah, he didn't get a lot of screen time
last season. He mentioned his daughter once last season. Mm-hmm. We've always had like a built-in storyline on somebody. We had Jason Mesnick, who made it really late into Deanna Papas' season, and he has a kid. Same thing with Emily Maynard.
I think that when he was on screen, though, he like stole the scene. That's why they picked. Like he was.
I think he was just popular with people, but we don't have a storyline. But probably more important than us not knowing him, is there's not enough indulging in libations on this show.
No, because we're made to believe that Juan Pablo doesn't drink either. Right?
Oh, I've not seen him drink a sip of alcohol on the show.
And so, and I think the girls are holding back too. The ones who are left.
I wish they would just sit around the house and get bombed.
Yeah.
But that makes for good TV. So that, in effect, hurts our
view,
production value.
Yeah.
So Charlene has an interesting statement on this group date. She wants to be seen as a panda in a room full of brown bears.
I guess that means she's more beautiful.
And she kind of is, in many ways, a panda in a room full of brown bears. She's atypical for a Bachelor contestant.
Smartest Bachelor contestant I think I've ever seen.
I think Andy's smarter than her.
I don't think so.
I do. Andy had to go to law school.
I think Charlene's more put together, is what I'm trying to say. Like, she's more of a normal person. And she still hasn't been able to wrap
I don't know that she's that normal. I think she's a little odd, actually.
Well, then...
No, but by being the panda, what I was getting at is she dresses very differently than everyone. I mean, she wears, like... I'm not going to say it's couture, because I don't really... tell you what that is.
She's living, basically, in Germany.
But, she's a European, kind of.
Yeah.
Claire ends up getting the group date rose on this thing, and the claws and fangs are out for Claire.
No, she better get the rose.
Yeah, she put in work.
She put in work, yeah.
But then she put in more work after the date when she goes up to...
Allegedly.
Wani. Yeah. She goes into... It was work no matter what happened. After that, she goes up to Wani Pob's room. She wants to go swimming in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
This harkens back to Ben Flanagan's season and Courtney Robertson wanting to go skinny dip in the ocean with him.
Now, we're imagining this is like 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Yeah. This is what time, I think.
I would assume it's late.
Yeah.
It worked out for Courtney. Yeah. At least for winning, she didn't end up with him.
Surprise.
As we know, he's not with her.
He's the Kardashian right now.
He's with the matriarch. So, aye, 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 Dan.
Something goes on in the
aye, aye, aye. He says that all the time, and it drives me nuts. Aye, aye. It's like, instead of, you know, sometimes you might be like in an uncomfortable situation, and some people might be like, ugh. Or something like to that effect. You have this different sort of vocalized pauses. Sometimes when people speak, they say like or you know or things like that or ay ay ay. Claire is on fire in llamas. I thought it was in fuego from what I know of Spanish, but Kenny Mayne taught me that. Dare I say, in fuego. So, but Claire, she kind of ambiguously says what went on this date. Or
she gives
date.
She gives a lot.
Outing.
She gives a lot of
hidden
clues.
But she is glowing and using words like
ecstasy.
Yes.
And whatnot. And you can tell, like, she's emphasizing the right words. And you can tell she's a little lightheaded. So
what do we think happened here, Dan? Did we... What single, double, triple home run?
I think somewhere between a triple and a home run.
Inside the park home run?
Yeah, I think inside the park home run.
Okay. So, after that, this is kind of like the big storyline.
I think bodily fluid was exchanged somehow. I don't know the details of it, but...
You just took it there.
I just
said. Nikki gets the cave exploration date. Yeah. And they go deep. Underground, and
probably the best part of this date, other than we get to know Nikki a little better. Nikki's kind of becoming, like, we've thought there was a good connection there, and it's kind of coming out. How about Juan Pablo trying to pronounce her profession?
Oh, yes.
Nikki the nurse.
Nikki.
You do what is it?
It is pediatrics. Funny, yeah, it's funny that, again, it's not funny. We're starting to learn more and more that he really doesn't speak very, maybe that's why he didn't get a lot of screen time last year either, is because his English.
They didn't want to subtitle everything?
Yeah, his English is better now than it was.
He doesn't get subtitled very often on this show, yeah, if any.
But I think he's learning. It's just fun. That's part of the funny of the show is that he doesn't speak English very well.
They seem to be really on point, these two. And Nikki gets on the fabled kiss list.
Mm-hmm.
So
that brings us to six?
No, I think that brings us to seven.
Seven, okay.
I had that pulled up just the other day. But so she gets the kiss. And a bachelor first. The girls head to the cocktail party on a boat.
It's called history. We're living it.
We're making history. We're living
it. So let me just, I want to remind you, at the beginning of the segment, I told you how boring this episode was, and you're highlighting their entrance on a boat.
Because getting us to the really good stuff.
Yeah.
And also, I wasn't intending to highlight, I was trying to pull up the kiss chart, which now has seven people on it, six in terms of where we are in the mm-hmm. course of this episode that we're talking about. As we hear highlights playing. The bachelor first, they come in on this boat, and Claire toasts immediately to finding love, being in love, and making love with a big smile on her face.
So what do you take away from that statement? Do you think she's trying to rub it in the girls' faces? Like,
choose your own adventure?
Yeah, I've done things that you haven't done.
I don't know what she... I don't think she's clearly thinking here. I think she's on her ivory tower and nothing can touch her. Juan Pablo, he's so scared to kiss Renee, and finally he tells her why. And she's like, just do it. And man, before the last letter of the word she was speaking came out of her mouth, he was all over her like white on rice.
Do you feel like he just doesn't want to kiss Renee?
No, I think he likes Renee.
Okay. I don't think he likes
Renee. I think he likes Renee a lot.
I don't think he likes her a lot.
Do you think Renee's really 32?
You think she's older?
I think she might be...
Like 34, 35?
At least a couple years older.
Yeah. I always try to...
She's got an 8-year-old. I mean, but I mean, I guess...
That's you'd be 24. 30. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... She does look... I mean, she looks older than a lot of women I know who are 34.
But, I mean, some people just look older. Some people don't age well.
She's not ugly, but...
No, I think she's pretty.
So, okay.
She's just... She gives off that she's a little older.
Well, she ages well for a 35-year-old. She might not age well for a 32-year-old. So, hopefully, she falls in with one of those.
I don't want to be... firing shots on here, but I mean,
too late. Shots have been fired. Talking about a woman's age.
I mean, she could be 40.
Oh, I would. You're right. That's not bad.
I mean, I'm not into firing shots on the podcast, but
that's a big difference. Saying being 40 and saying you're 32.
Yeah, I think you probably lie more like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, why couldn't Cassandra lie and say she was older? Why don't you be 24 instead of 21? Who knows? So Juan Pablo starts feeling bad about going to the ocean with Claire. She thinks it was fine, but he's feeling badly.
This happens every time, too. One of these situations comes up. I think, didn't Ben feel bad, too, about, like...
No, it's usually the other way around. It's usually the suitor that's feeling bad and not the suitee.
Yeah, okay.
So he's worried about what his daughter's going to think of him doing that.
Yes.
That night. I was like, what does that mean? And he said it like that.
Mm-hmm.
That. So Claire cries because she doesn't want to hurt Camila. I was like, what the? I'm thinking, what the heck happened in the ocean? Claire is melting down. And his response? This is classic. Just delete it.
Just delete it.
Is she a keyboard?
Control Alt Delete.
I mean,
don't you wish you could do that
just
in your life?
Delete it.
It's, so
I had a bad day yesterday. Delete.
So they did more than. So this is more confirming of like something. They were somewhere between third base and home plate.
Oh man, were there runners on base?
There might be.
Get the butter knife out of this at this rose ceremony. I mean, you can cut the tension with a knife, and. Claire keeps saying that she has bad allergies.
No, because... Yeah.
Is anybody buying that?
No, I don't think they are.
Charlene ends up pulling the first rose. And as promised last week, we said that we do a little chart, get some info on...
Who gets the roses?
The order the roses are handed out in. And... Do you have that, Dan? I misplaced mine.
I do not have it pulled up.
As promised, we will have that for you.
So real quick, I want to play this little quick game with you.
Okay, I can play a game while I'm looking for
okay.
it.
Okay, it's called In It to Win It, or There for the Right
which
Reasons.
Which is something that I came up with earlier this season.
Okay.
In It to Win It.
Or In It to Win It, which means they're playing more for the game, or There for the Right Reasons, who they really want to fall in love with. Juan Pablo.
And by playing the game, does that mean you're there for like... Ulterior motives,
well,
like
yeah.
fame, and
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
is that what we're
yeah,
getting
exactly,
at?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the remaining contestants. Andy, real, just do this as quick fire. Andy,
Right Reasons.
Cassandra,
In It to Win It.
Okay. Chelsea,
Right Reasons.
Claire,
Right Reasons.
Really, I think she's in it to win it. Pat,
I want to say Right Reasons, but maybe In It to Win It.
Okay, I agree with that. Nikki.
In it, Right Reasons.
Right. Renee?
For sure, Right Reasons.
Yeah. Charlene?
In It to Win It.
Yeah, I don't think she's... I agree. She's the weird
like
one.
Like, I asked me 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
Right Reasons. Now, In It to Win It.
Okay.
It's a good thing that I pulled all this data, Dan. I can't find it anywhere. So, we... Charlene gets first rose, Danielle, the invisible, Kelly and her dog, and Allie, the vintage Samba-wearing Adidas shoes, are Wani Pob's latest ladies to go home, and he starts crying, Dan.
Yeah, well, he's starting to get into that part where it's starting to get real, right? And so, Danielle...
you said
on,
it!
Hold on, but
you said
we're
it.
Going to come back to that very soon. So we'll see.
We got it pulled up now.
Yeah.
Charlene got the first rose this time. This is after, Renee, Claire, and Nikki already had roses. Renee has gotten the first rose once. Andy, Cassandra, and Renee again. Not Renee again, but interesting to note though, what is it? 1, 2, 3 times out of 5, Claire is one of the top 2, as well as Nikki is one of the top 3 4 out of 5 times.
So I think Nikki and Claire are some of his top choices.
Well, and, I mean, and Renee's there too.
Yeah.
I mean, she's in the top 4 3 times. Andy's in the mix. But yeah, like... I've been on kind of the Claire train all season. I think the train may be getting derailed. I don't know. But
previews from this week make it sound like...
Yeah, scenes from next. Claire asks if there... She says, did we do anything inappropriate? That's what she says. And he says, it didn't feel right.
Ooh.
So more on that.
You never want to hear a
guy
say that to you.
More on that next time. Dragging our feet on The Bachelor, but that's okay. Because the real world wasn't... As explosive as we had anticipated this week, people kind of seem to settle into their new roles real quick. I said this to you, and I think I said this earlier, I think this really saps the experience for everyone that's in the house. Like, they went to the real world to have this kind of like, I mean, it's cliche to say this, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You don't get called to go on the real world every day. And it's just like, it's kind of like being at home now, just stuck in a house with a person you may or may not like anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
So in many ways, I feel bad for the original cast.
But what? I see what you're saying, but what I'm seeing is that the guys were having their cake and eating it too, and that's what they want, right? They were able to. These guys are coming off, especially at the end of this episode.
Well, it's easier to do that when the other person's 400 or 500 or 1,000 miles away.
Yeah, but even take Corey, right? Corey was in a perfect situation where he can meet girls at the club, and then if he didn't meet any girls, he would have something home ready for him. Right? And that's what, and he's all disappointed because he can't do that anymore, which...
Yeah, oh, and I mean...
The same thing with Jamie. It sounds like Jamie wants to hook up... I mean, Tom wants to hook up with Jamie and his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I just wish... I mean, I thought it was good cast before we added the exes in. I thought it was interesting. We saw some more for the first time we saw interaction with, like, the camera people this time. Tom was talking to them about... pretty much about pulling the wool over their eyes, bringing these people in. And kind of one of the larger themes of this whole episode is how glad Jamie is that her ex-boyfriend Cameron isn't there.
Which makes me wish he was there.
Like I think it probably would have been pretty explosive.
Yes, which would have been the name of the show. Real Explosive.
And she finds... The producers tell her that he's not coming, right?
No, not the producer.
I can't remember who told her.
She called like a buddy, a friend of hers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he's saying he's not going to be able to go.
But Thomas's girlfriend may put a little cramp in her style. I don't know. We know based on current day information that her and Thomas are still together. So there may be some drama, but we know that they're going to get through it.
Well, Jamie seems very possessive for someone she's been with. She's
kind of very possessive just in general of everything. I mean, the way she treated Ashley on day one. I don't know.
So, interesting note. You brought up like the production crew, and we're seeing more of that. Jamie Murray, Jonathan Murray, did an interview.
I was going to say, Jamie Murray, that's my boy.
Jonathan Murray did an interview with Rolling Stone this week. And they talked about this, yeah. So he said that they are showing more crew because they want people to remind people that this is like a documentary kind of thing where it's not real. You know, it's people being recorded.
To some degree, it's almost more real than it's ever been.
Yeah. Second, we keep talking about the production of it, right? The flashy graphics and everything like that.
Yeah.
Well, he said the reason they're doing that is because the main viewership is mostly people our age, 30 to 40. Original people, right? They're trying to get a newer crowd, and they think this will make it get the newer crowd. And then finally, kind of a little, while The Real World hasn't been renewed for a 30th season, he thinks it will be. Ratings are on the rise, but he sees more of these curveball seasons somehow. He doesn't mean X's are going to be it every season, but like he likes this idea of surprising the cast mid-season.
Maybe they bring on
your parents,
best friends.
What about your parents? Parents had to move in with you.
How cool would it be if they brought in your best friend?
That might be cool, but I think it would be better if you brought your parents. Could you imagine if your mom moved into you on The Real World?
Yeah. Or what if some people got friends and some people got enemies?
Yeah, enemies would be better. I could see that.
It's kind of like exes, though.
Yeah.
Moving on. Jenny's ex. Brian, that's his name, right? This is what he had to say in the confessional. Do you remember this, Dan? You watched it last night.
I watched.
I wish that I wasn't so erratic with my emotions. I wish that I could not set a pattern for an extreme behavior within a negative realm. What? Does he think that sounds smart? Because it doesn't say anything.
Was that the only one who found it awkward that he was in there with Jenny? And 2 weeks ago, she was humping some dude in there. In a bear suit.
In a bear suit. Do you think Jamie doesn't want her ex, Cameron, to be there because she has feelings for him, because she doesn't want the drama?
I think she doesn't want the drama. I think it took her a long time to get over him. And that's what I kind of believe her, and she just doesn't want to. And if he comes back, she might fall back into him. Right. And he could be a psycho. I mean, he's in a band. These band guys are kind of psycho.
I think he's probably a little out there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this Brian Corey Ginny relationship.
Yeah.
It's getting sideways real fast. Ginny's saying that if Brian starts doing things that she doesn't like, that the House will vote him out. Wait, how does that work?
Well,
that's not how the real world works.
It was said later in the episode with Tom, right? Didn't Tom say that too?
No, she was going around telling people that.
I know, but there was someone else said that too. I think Tom said the same thing about Haley. He said he'll get her out of the House too. At the end of the episode.
I mean, do we not know something that these people know, or do these people not know how the show works?
Or wait, maybe it was Jamie. Oh, Jamie. Maybe someone was trying to get Haley out. So maybe it was Jamie trying to get Haley out if she crosses the line or something like that. But
I mean, you have to do something detrimental to the well-being of your roommates, I know, my opinion.
I thought you had to fight someone or something
you
like that.
You have to fight or something.
Yeah.
I think you get kicked off if you're for substance abuse.
Okay.
Not
alcohol, that is.
No, but you have to take a... Yeah, you have to take a drug test to be on the real world.
And it's like a psych test, too.
Really?
Yeah, Jonathan Murray talked about this. Like, they had to do all this testing behind the scenes, you know, for the exes. Like,
so they end up with some horribly mentally unstable person?
Well, maybe they test you to find out how mentally unstable you are.
What was the guy's name on Real World St. Thomas? Was it Brandon?
Rob? The redhead?
No. Well, not Rob, not Trey. And not Swift, but the guy that had the big gauges in his... I think his name was Brandon.
Brandon, yeah.
That guy was mentally... did that guy take this test that you're talking about?
Wasn't he like a recovering heroin and alcoholic?
I don't know. Who knows? Thought this was interesting. We're seeing something kind of new. Typically, the gang that go out in the real world, everybody goes together, right? Not anymore. They don't make room for 11 cast members plus camera guys.
No, are you talking about Cavs?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, the producer is out there instructing them that they have to split into two vans to go out. And one van can only hold 9 people. So, kind of a new element to the show. May not get somebody pulling Brad's underwear up over his head with fewer people in the car.
Yeah, I think... I think we saw the crew. I think they've been doing that for a while. It's just now we see it happening.
So, before we close this out, I enjoyed the new girlfriends that came in. I guess Jay's girlfriend,
Jenna,
and Corey's ex, who I don't remember her name,
Lauren.
And maybe Tom's ex.
Haley.
There's a couple of these people they're all in the restroom at this bar talking crap about Jamie and Ginny.
Haley and Lauren.
Which are Corey's.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how, hey, don't worry, they can't hear us, and they don't have cameras in here, so they won't televise it without the video. Or maybe they'll just show the bathroom door.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise! We're showing the bathroom door, and you're talking crap about everybody.
So what we're seeing, too, is, like, the exes are kind of becoming friends, and the roommates are becoming friends. So that could create a little dynamic, too, of, like...
Will we have an immunity challenge?
I don't know, but there's, like, two tribes forming in this house.
So, but... Okay. Ginny and Brian, they're getting emotional pretty quickly. And...
They got back together.
Yeah, they're back together. And I had a question mark on Tom and Jamie, but we know the answer to that one, so.
I watched part of the after show.
I watched the after show.
And so we know that Jenny and Brian don't end up together.
Oh, I didn't even catch on to that.
Yeah. They apparently, she made a point of, like, Brian didn't assume that they were exclusive. Apparently, he was like, well, Jenny never said we were exclusive.
He was taking a page out of Corey's book.
When they got back to, Kansas City, Jenny and Brian didn't work out because Brian was like, oh, I didn't know we were exclusive. And so they're not together.
Interesting. Dan, it's about that time. I'm excited. I am pumped. on the pump.
Pump on the pump.
Pumped on the pump. Vanderpump Rules so season finale.
You think it ended on a high note?
Oh, it could it have been any higher? And I pray they find a way to make a third season happen.
I think it'll be pretty easy.
We'll start this thing out. I want to do this. Typically, episodes tend to always start with like some kind of outing between a couple castmates, right? They go somewhere. Typically, not interested. This one, I'm interested. I want to do the thing Stassi and Katie did where they go to these, like, put on these, like, silver sweat suit type things, and you go and, like, sweat pounds off.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I sign up for that?
It's not on the Kardashians a couple seasons ago.
Really?
Yeah, I think Kourtney and Khloe went to do this at one point.
Wonder how much it cost.
I don't know, but it looks horrible.
Can I get one at my house?
Why would you want to do that? It looks horrible.
Yeah, you drop some LBs before you head out to the pool or the lake. bless you, Dan. Tom asked Kristen about the text at the beginning of the show. The text between Kristen and Jax. She continues to deny. And then it's time for the surf photo shoot. And Tom is reprimanded for rolling in late there. Kristen has been banned from even showing up.
Well, she's on leave, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a work function.
Technically not working.
Yeah, right. Technically she's on leave from sir.
And Tom is in denial and trying to kind of get the scoop from Stassi on what exactly she knows.
And at the same time,
Lisa's there telling Tom that he should just smack Jax. But then Jax, his response is, well, if her boyfriend would satisfy her, she wouldn't have done this.
Jax has some pretty good comebacks this week. Of like
he's pretty on point.
Yeah.
And speaking of on point, Peter pressed up nude against four of his coworkers.
But we also found out that Peter and Stassi, he's pressed up against Stassi front end to front end, and we found out that he used to date Stassi, so it's probably not that weird.
It's a little weird.
I mean, yeah, it's probably weird, but they're still, I mean, how many times?
It's weird for all of them.
Yeah, but it's weird at the point where, as weird as them taking a photo shoot half naked to start off with your coworkers. Yeah.
So this whole thing goes on, this photo shoot. Like, I don't feel bad for people on this show, really, but Tom looked just like a lost puppy dog walking around that swimming pool.
Which I don't understand. It's not like, I mean, again, we've been talking about this all season. Like, what was the point of this relationship?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, I understand that. The only thing I understand is there's been like 5 years of time invested here. I understand that. But all that's gone on, what, I mean, it's just, the thing's being held together by just a couple threads.
I mean,
if that.
He's not innocent in any way, and she's not innocent in any way.
Yeah.
I think the most surprising part is that Kristen got knocked off her high horse, right? Because whenever her and Tom would get in an argument, she'd be like, "Oh, why don't you go have sex with a stripper in Vegas or whatever?" And she like used that over
boom,
him.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, but now she can't do that.
So Lisa's mothering him. He's in full meltdown mode at this thing. Meltdown.
Yeah, he's just being a moody model. That's all he is.
And so the big event for this season ender is Sheena's engagement party. I don't think we ever really found out where the party was.
I thought it was at Sir.
No, it wasn't at Sir.
You sure?
Yeah, it was somewhere else.
It made it sound like it was at, I mean, they made it sound like it was at Sir.
Stassi gets there a little early, and Lisa demands that Stassi apologize to Kristen when Kristen gets there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little weird. I mean, your boss can't demand that you apologize to somebody.
She's not your regular boss. You can't really like say that.
But then again, all of you guys probably would have been fired a long time ago at a normal job.
You can't really talk about your love life with your boss either.
Yeah. So Sheena gets up on the bar to debut her new single.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
That's why I think it was at Sir, because... But it was outside in that patio area.
No, it was a totally like different... It was indoors.
Sure? Yeah, but the fight was outside. It was more like an outside area.
And Katie says that she's getting
this may be one of the lines of the season when Sheena's performing. She's getting, I'm getting douche bumps. Katie's good for some comic relief here and there.
Yes.
That's kind of where the void she fills in this show. Tom and Kristen, they show up. They show up bearing gifts.
They brought a lot of gifts.
And the whole party turns and gasps and looks in astonishment as they show up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could feel that through the TV. So Stassi does what she's told. She calls Kristen outside to apologize. Kristen can't look at her. Tells her she can't look at her. Stassi is getting ready to spurt out her apology. And Kristen comes straight out and says she slept with Jax. I slept with him.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, ho, ho, in the TV when this happened. Wow. Thoughts. Like, you asked me last week if this happened, and I said, for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. But I guess it just makes you wonder, like, how real was their relationship at the same time? So, Tom and Chris, like, maybe they weren't really dating. I mean, maybe this could have been fake for all we know. I don't know. But at the same time, like, is Jax, the girls like Jax that much? Like, he comes off as a buffoon and an idiot, but I mean, I guess he's good looking. I don't know.
He probably does well in the clubs.
Yeah, but does he do well? Yeah, I can see him doing well, like, on one-night stands, because you don't really know him. But like for
that's
people,
how he rolls.
But with Kristen and Stassi and other girls, like, he knows. How does he get that?
Well, you heard some rumors the other day about Jax.
Yeah.
I don't remember where you heard them, but apparently he's...
with Gigi.
Well, yeah, we know he's with Gigi, and Gigi had some comments about...
his endowment.
And his performance.
Yeah, both positive.
Maybe that's the ticket.
Yeah.
Who knows? Tom does have a sit-down with Jax at this thing. And Lisa has a sit-down with Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jax, I don't know if Jax was never really friends with Tom or what is wrong with it. Like, I don't care who you are. If you're friends with, if one of your boys, you did something this bad to him, you're going to have some remorse. You're going to feel bad at least a tiny bit. This dude is cold-blooded.
So Tom thinks they're really friends, right? Because they lived together for a while with the other Tom, and they were like roommates. Jax says that he was only staying there because he needed a room.
Right. I mean, Jax is a total dick about that. He even says to Tom, "Hey, I sleep good at night."
Yeah. But you got to remember Tom. I mean,
I want to see the reunion to see if Jax has developed remorse.
I think Jax has his moral compass is off. He talks about how he lies all the time, right? We saw him in the doctor's office, and he admitted to a psychiatrist that he just lies all the time. I think he just doesn't get it. Even when he's telling the truth,
He maybe doesn't even know when he's lying.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is just part of that, whatever issue he has. Like, the lying is one thing. Being able to sleep with your best friend's girlfriend and not having a feeling is part of that.
And then drum roll, please. Tom unloads on Jax. It didn't look real threatening, this punch they threw at Jax, but the angle that he came down with, the knuckles across, bust Jax's forehead right open. And he got a few shots before it got broken up.
Yeah.
Like they say in my movie, Dazed and Confused, most fights get broken up after the first punch, right? You get one good shot and you play defense.
Exactly.
Didn't work out so well for Adam Goldberg, Mike Newhouse.
Nope.
Clint took him to town, took Newton to town in that situation, and Tom got the better end of this.
Which was a surprise.
Dan, let me remind you of this. And all of this is happening at Sheena's engagement party. Can you imagine having an engagement party and this happening at your engagement party?
No, that would be horrible.
You might have trouble inviting those people to your wedding after that.
Yes.
I don't think they would be invited.
But I guess if Bravo's going to pay for your wedding, then you'll have to buy whoever they want.
Yeah, I don't know if Sheena's going to get a Bravo wedding.
Mm,
but this show is outstanding.
That's good.
This show is really good. We have a couple more segments. I want to bump news up to right now because I have a story that kind of goes along with Vanderpump in the news section. And it's been talked about in some different places, but Stassi's left CERN and she's living in New York City with her new boyfriend.
A DJ.
Patrick. And she doesn't want to work there. She feels like a toxic place. She's only still friends with Katie, really. I want to read you some of the stuff she says. She's like, I can't be a waitress forever.
True.
Eventually, we're all going to start moving on.
True.
We don't have a season 3, so I can't even answer that. But she does tease of a potential return. I don't talk to anyone besides Katie and Tom Schwartz. I don't know what I do. I have nothing left to give.
Yeah. So maybe it goes out on a high note. Like, that's the thing. Like, Jersey Shore would have been better if it left on a high note.
But we've talked about this, Dan. Bravo doesn't have a lot going for it other than the Housewives.
I agree.
They're going to ride this pony. Those pony can't walk anymore.
And I told you this is what I hate about television, how they do this. They beat something to the ground.
Yeah, she does say she's really sad about Tom Sandoval, but says they were in the same boat. She said, I don't understand why he has anger or hatred or animosity towards me. He blames me for everything that happened between him and Kristen, which I totally agree with. Like, there's a lot of, between a lot of these people in different situations, there's a lot of misdirected angst.
Yeah.
But it makes the show good.
It makes the show good.
It makes the show phenomenal. And I really hope we can work something out, I guess, third season. I can also see a scenario where there's some sort of Stassi spinoff in New York City.
I don't think that would be good.
Courtney Curry got a spinoff on a much lesser show.
I'm telling, and that show was horrible. I'm just telling you, I don't think it would be good.
So, do you have anything else? I have one more news story if you have one you want to drop in.
I don't have any news.
So I have an interview here with Claire, Bachelor Claire.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to read verbatim some things that she said. Actually, excuse me, it's not what she said. What Chris Harrison has said about this situation. Quote, start now. When she showed up, he was fully into it, like, this is awesome and sexy. This is regarding showing up to her room.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around and treats her like all of a sudden she did something wrong and broke the rules. It was not only confusing, but it was borderline rude. We even told him as much, but he didn't seem to see it that way. Then Harrison goes on to say, even though he apologized later, I don't think he really understood how cheap he made her feel. In my deliberation, I said to him, you're not getting this. You really hurt her feelings. You need to fix it and apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But there are cultural differences with him and things that do get lost in translation and how it's interpreted. It's his perspective. It's not right or wrong. It's made for interesting conversations, and I had to learn to stand back a little bit and respect that. It's pretty interesting that Chris Harrison stepped in and said, hey, you screwed this up. You need to fix it.
Well, he can't fix it now.
I assume they don't always show us this sit down with Chris Harrison before the roast ceremony, but I'm sure it always happens. And I'm sure that this happened there, and he said, hey, you need to apologize. And Juan Pablo said, I don't need to apologize.
Good. It's not my dad. Can't tell me what to do.
He needed to apologize. He didn't handle this properly.
Well,
if you want to have a conversation, great. He needed to choose his words. I know that's not his forte, choosing his words.
Well, he can, that's the thing.
But he needed to do that better.
Yeah. Well, he could probably do it better if she spoke Spanish. She can't speak Spanish, so.
So they should have had only bilingual contestants.
They should have. It might have made him come off a little bit.
What if they were bilingual and Spanish wasn't one of their languages?
Well, they would have to fix it. The issue is that Juan Pablo.
We had the drunk girl earlier in the season. She spoke Portuguese.
Yeah, Juan Pablo. I think we keep talking about this. Like, English is a second language. So when you speak a different language, sometimes you say what you're thinking, but that doesn't come across right. Like, his words were right. It's more of the meaning of the words.
So, it's an interesting interview with Chris Harrison.
Harrison just needs to realize he's just a host.
He's an executive producer, Dan.
He's not a puppet. He shouldn't. He needs to mind his place.
Anyhow, anything else news-wise from you?
That's all I got.
Before we hit your random review of the week, take a quick look over at the After Reality Fantasy4Reality.com scores. And this seems to change every week. I look at it on Tuesday, and then I look at it now. I had pulled points on you for the week, right?
Yeah.
Like 60 points?
60 points.
You ended up with 10 more points than me for the
boom.
Week. They went and changed it. I keep getting bamboozled here.
I think they watch it once and they post it, and then they go back and do a review. They do that in baseball games all the time when they.
These are like wholesale changes, Dan.
They do this in baseball all the time when they'll give someone an error, and then once they have time to review the play, they'll count the error to the proper play person or whatnot. So, you're a baseball guy. You see this happen all the time.
These are big point swings. Like, I was up by 60 for the week, and then I end up down by 10.
But like, it's just
at least a 70-point swing.
Yeah. But that's just a couple pieces here and there.
And points are awarded for a lot of different things. Dan's got the lead going into week 6, 2,400 to 2,000. Hmm. Not insurmountable, but I only have 3 people left. He has 5. I would think maybe Chelsea goes home this week, so that'll take one off your team. But Kat could go home for me. Renee could go home. I don't think Claire's going home. I think Claire's there for the foreseeable future. She's Final Four.
Oh, we missed it when I was stuck in Real World. We had a "it's about to get real" comment. I always say a reality show doesn't start until someone says it's about to get real.
Yes. So, Dan... You have a random review for us. I'm anxious to hear about it because you wouldn't tell me what it was.
No, it's about these 3 brothers. They opened a burger joint in Boston.
On what network?
On A&E.
Okay.
So these 3 brothers, they opened this burger joint, and basically 2 of the brothers are mostly just investors, and the other one's like a head chef. And it's really about their family dynamic. They come from a big family, and it's actually really good. This one guy's name, the chef guy's name Paul, right? And so he works with his brothers Mark and Donnie, and what they do is just show the dynamic of these brothers who are really rich and fly all across the country. And the brother, are you not getting what I'm talking about?
Say their names again.
Mark and Donnie.
Who's the third brother?
Paul.
There's a Paul Wahlberg?
Well, there's 9 Wahlbergs apparently.
Do they have the other Mark Wahlberg on this show, the host of Shop Till You Drop?
No, so it's actually a pretty good show. So it's called The Wahlburgers. And they own a restaurant called Wahlburgers. It's like a...
Is Vinny Chase on?
Johnny Drama.
Kevin Dillon's on?
The real Johnny Drama is on it.
Oh, is he? Do they call him Johnny Drama?
Yeah, they do.
Phenomenal. I gotta see this. So you like the show?
I like it. I think I would watch it for like 2 seasons, but I'll watch like this season of it. Because it's really, the good part of the show is the dynamics between the brothers. Like, they treat each other like they're regular people, and they just treat each other, like, Mark is the littlest of the brother, but now in theory, he's the biggest of the brothers, right? And so, but he's...
Most well-to-do.
Yeah, well-to-do, and he's actually bigger than all of them now. He's pretty put together.
He's always been put together since the days of the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, but now he's like, Funky Bunch, he was like, but now he's like, big. And so... You know, he's filming Transformers during this season, so he's, they're calling him back and forth, he's flying all around. But it's a good brother dynamic, where the brothers, like, rag on each other the whole time, and Paul, who is actually the oldest, and he's a chef, they actually target him because he's really high-strung, and he's trying to manage his business.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Burger joint, right?
It's kind of like a Hop Dottie here in Austin. It's like an upscale
burger. It's a gourmet burger bar.
Yeah, this place is like that. It's kind of gourmet burgers.
Do they have a special sauce by chance called the right stuff?
They have like monthly burgers of the month. And so...
You got the right stuff.
Donnie had a burger this one month. It was called Donnie's Double D's. I don't know why, but that's what they called it. And then Donnie brought his girlfriend, one Jenny McCarthy...
Donnie D's on the backup, and they drug free,
and
so put the crack up.
Yeah, so they did a Jenny McCarthy burger. It was like a hot dog burger kind of thing.
Of course, it was.
It's a good show. It's only 30 minutes. And it's really interesting to see the way they just kind of rag on each other the whole time. And basically, like Donnie and Mark, there's like
every episode you get introduced to a new investor in the restaurant. I don't understand how one burger joint needs like 15 investors.
So you've seen multiple episodes.
I've seen two episodes, yeah.
Okay.
And then, so Donnie and Mark basically just make decisions, and they tell Paul he's got to do it. Like, so the first episode was like, hey, Paul, we're going to open a location in Toronto. Like, New Kids and Mark are pretty big, are really big in Toronto. And he's like, what? They're like, yeah, you got to make it done. And then the next episode, like, hey, we're going to open a restaurant in China in like 6 months, so you have to figure it out. And so they invest all the money, and then he has to kind of make it all work.
So do you think that at any point Joey and Jordan and Jonathan and Danny are going to show up for a performance?
They might, because when they were in Toronto, they were doing like a New Kids reunion. They didn't show them, but Donnie was there and they did a bunch of pub, and Mark was there and he did a bunch of pub. But who knows? Jenny McCarthy's already been in one episode. She's dating Donnie.
Which is just puzzling, but...
So, I mean, I like it. It's 30 minutes long. There's some parts of the show that's kind of slow. The mom's actually a main character in it, too. She's this old, you know, Northeastern, and she's got a smoker's voice, but she's pretty funny.
The only thing I have a problem with the show so far, Dan, is where it's set. So I think you know well that I have a large indifference to the town of Boston.
Well, it's not. It's Boston. It's like a suburb of Boston. Technically, it's in
Massachusetts.
It's in Hingham, Massachusetts. Yeah, they're not in Boston. And they spend a lot of time flying around too. So.
Okay, I'm gonna check it out.
So check it out.
The Wahlburgers on A&E.
Yeah, I guess it's on after Duck Dynasty.
The slot previously occupied by Modern Dads, filmed here in Austin.
Oh yeah, so. Check it out. I think I like just the way that Mark and Donnie and Paul, like Paul, like doesn't care that Mark Wahlberg's this huge movie star. He still calls him out all the time and all this stuff. So,
gotcha. Okay, so Dano, we have the segment that we do here and there, Reality Rewind, and this week it's just going to be a quick glimpse at an article that you found that was published recently. And the topic of the article is a definitive ranking of the best real-world cast members ever.
Yeah, so the thing is the title of the article, right? A definitive ranking of the best. So basically...
Ever.
So...
So there's a whole, like, conversation about some people, blah, blah, blah. Let's just get straight to the list.
Okay. And I brought this because I had some issues with this list.
I have an issue with every entry on the list except for one. Maybe two. So let's start at number 10.
Danny from
Real World New Orleans. Well known. That's my favorite season.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, not one of my four favorite characters on that cast.
Okay.
So definitely not in my top 10. Agree?
Agree, but Danny is historic, right, because he was dating that, like, Air Force guy. Gays in the military. Okay. Next.
Blurry face. Paul, I think, was his name.
Number 9.
Real World London, which I think is considered to... Is it... I didn't watch it. Is it considered to be a good one or a bad one?
Bad one.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
I feel like all the ones... one and Paris were both bad.
Because it was the first one out of the country... But it was also right after, like, L.A. and San Francisco, which were really good ones. And so this one was a severe drop-off.
Was this the third or the fourth?
I think it was, like, fourth. Because so New York, L.A., San Francisco.
Gotcha.
And then London. So in that
It chose Sharon. Sharon's been on a few challenges back in the day, back in the early aughts. Nowhere even on my radar.
Dan. I have nothing to know. I can't add anything to Sharon.
Nowhere on my radar.
I just know I remember that she was a singer, and like she spent half the season, her voice went out. And she couldn't talk.
There was a guy named Mike that was on her season with her that was on these challenges.
He was a race car driver, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was okay.
Number 8 was tied.
Number 8, a tie, and it's the only entry that I really agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... We've discussed this before. You like Lindsay from Seattle, and I really like Lindsay from Seattle. And I like Janet also from Seattle. So they have Lindsay and Janet from Seattle. Season 7, right there in the number 8 spot. I like it. We're going to put some girls on the list.
Yeah, the big drama with them was like the rumor, they didn't really interact with the rest of the roommates. They kind of did their own thing and whatnot. So
And it spawned an actual media career for Lindsay. She's still doing, I think she does TV, like local TV.
Speaking of which, Blair from Road Rules, he does like webisode for DC Universe. Just to let you guys know, if you're looking for Blair, that's all I came across.
So, and we do need to make, at times we've chosen people for lists and rankings that we've done. And a lot of it's a little skewed by appearance on the challenge and thought.
True.
If you hone it really into their season of the, like, there's people that I really like on the challenge. I didn't give two craps about on their season.
Don't
like,
remember them.
You know, we know I really like Emily on the challenge. I didn't even like the Washington D.C. season.
Yeah.
I thought she was annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was hooking up with Ty.
Yeah.
Number seven, rest in peace to Pedro Zamora, Real World.
I think he belongs on this list for being.
I would, if this list was titled Influential Cast Members.
Okay, he would probably be one or two.
He'd be on that list. He's not on my list for best cast members.
Yeah. But he did cause, I mean, he was always in some sort of fight with Puck. There was always something going on with it. Like, you know, so, I don't know. I'm not against him being on this list, but maybe not. Number six.
Real World Boston. Camila.
Not Camila Valentina.
No, Camila. And Camila was a cool chick. She did some time on some challenges. If I'm taking anyone from Boston, I'm taking Cyrus.
Yeah.
Or, what was the dude's name with kind of stringy blonde hair? Jason? I think that was his name.
Boston.
It was Jason and Genesis and
Boston's,
Elka Boston's and Montana.
It's one of my misses. I didn't miss it.
Elka was solid.
I didn't miss Boston, but I wasn't into it as much.
Yeah. Camila.
So number five, another
number
Boston.
Number five, another Bostonian. Montana. And what do we have to say about that?
Nothing.
Moving on. Montana was best known for getting fired from her job.
Because she was drunk.
And they worked with
kids.
She was drinking with the kids.
Yeah.
This list is terrible, Dan.
Number four, David, Seattle.
I like David from Seattle. That makes two entries that we I think like from Seattle. David's definitely on my top 20. I don't know if he's in my top 10.
Okay.
I like David. I like Nathan. I like that cast a lot. David, Nathan, Janet, and Lindsay. A really good cast.
Yeah.
Number three.
Coral.
Coral, who kind of still lives on in some realms of real worldom.
I always like Coral.
Back to New York. She was pretty polarizing. She had a lot of run-ins with Mike the Miz Mizanin.
Mm-hmm.
Taught him a lot, I think, about culture.
He was very young in that.
He was very sheltered.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great season, but it is the only season that there's a cast member that I'm friends with.
Yes.
Kevin, who had kind of disappeared off the real world map.
He got a real job.
He's got a real job. Yeah. Works for the ESPN's Longhorn Network as an anchor and a play-by-play man. Number two.
Tammy, Real World LA.
And Tammy is a very well-known cast member. She went on. She married Kenny Anderson, who was a NBA player for a long time. I don't believe they're still married, but I think she was on Basketball Wife.
Yeah, she was on Basketball Wife.
I didn't watch that show, but well-known from having the covers ripped off of her by Crazy David.
Yeah, and she called rape, and it became a big issue and all these things, which in today's real world, it probably wouldn't even make the shows, so underwhelming.
So
number one.
So wait. If I'm picking somebody from LA, it's David. I'm not picking Tammy. I'm not picking Cowboy John. I'm not picking Beth. I'm going with David.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but not on my top 10.
Yeah, I don't think.
Where's Eric Nies on this list?
I don't know. Well, let's go to number one.
Shouldn't Eric Nies and Julie be like tied at number one? Number one, my favorite season of the real world. Real World New Orleans. My favorite quote this person ever said on the show was, Jamie, do you want to go upstairs with Julie and join us in a menagerie? And that's Melissa, the Filipino firecracker from Real World New Orleans. And some memorable stuff with her. She got cussed at by David and then flipped the script, started throwing chairs. Mm-hmm. But nothing memorable about her, like, that puts her in the top 10 cast members of all time.
I don't think so either.
Should we revisit this and come up with our, like, get together and make ourselves agree? Like, if we both say yes, they're in the top 10, and if we both, and we give them only get one, and they go on, a first and second team. You want to do this for next week?
We could try this.
Let's do this for next week. We promise a definitive good list of the best Real World cast members, say it with me, Dan, ever.
So this is on thewire.com. You can go check it out. They're really skewed to a certain era of Real World, it seems like. I mean, it seems like, right, called out multiple times was Boston, Seattle, New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean,
in LA.
The newest of all those is New Orleans, which took place in 1999, right?
Yeah, so you're saying nothing's happened. There's no Hall of Famer over the last 13 years, 14 years.
2000 was when New Orleans was. Yeah. But, I mean, this is ridiculous. And this article was written January 7th.
It was right before the season premiere.
Well, actually, today's right January 7th, but it was...
Today's
February 7th. Oh, no, it was February 7th. So it was written a month ago.
Yeah.
Preposterous. That's all I got for the week, Dan. You all good?
I'm good.
Let's get out of here, but before we do, tell everybody where they can find us online.
You can hit us up at Twitter, at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, After Reality TV Podcast.
And if we were to find you on the Twitter,
you can hit me up at Daniel Oehler, Oehler.
I am at SpencerK11 on Twitter. Another good one, Dan. We got an off week for Real World next week. We'll try to maybe spice it up with some more.
The Olympics, the ultimate reality show.
I haven't even talked about it. I love the Olympics. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
And one more thing to mention. Upcoming show, Southern Charm on Bravo. I was totally out on it. I'm in on it now. Real World San Diego alumni Cameron Eubanks is on the cast. So I'm excited. And we leave you with that. But before we go, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food here on the After Reality TV podcast.